Okay, so here's the deal. Welcome everybody here and online at nowordfmc.com. I'm excited about today's message. What we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a story, a time in Jesus' life, something that's often misunderstood, passed over, or not really fully pondered. It's one of these occurrences in his life that you can look at and go, that was strange, and then just kind of move on. But I'm gonna say this. We're going to look at the temptation of Jesus and ask the question, what can I learn from this for my life? Now, we looked at this about 2 years ago, and as I was out in the four-wheeler Friday tooling around, I was so unprofessional. I was about to tell you that I came around a corner, and there was a mama and two deer right there, like right there. It was a really cool moment. I said, why doesn't that happen during hunting season with the antlered ones? But anyway, so I was out in the four-wheeler, and I was just kind of talking to God, and any of you who have ever done really any sort of speaking or feel the burden of like, okay, God, what do you want to say? You kind of start to panic when the weekend comes and you're not hearing anything. And I always go back to what's God doing in my life. And mine is basically survive. Survive day in and day out the rigors of being super busy. But then he started to speak to me about this story. And I thought, well, that's strange because what I want to do, Lord, what I want to do here at Norwood FMC is continue to share the vision of this church, which is to seek and save the lost. I have a really good seat here, and I see all those cars going by in 56, and then I see the prayer requests, and we have a lot of healthcare workers who deal with people who don't know who Jesus is. That's my focus. That's my focus. That's what I think that should be our primary focus. It's called the Great Commission. But he sits there and he says, why don't we look at this? And so we're going to look at this, guys, but again, we're not going to look at this from a third-party perspective. If Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, we are being conformed into his image. I want you to put yourself in this story, okay? We're trying to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. So as we look at this, don't remove yourself from it. Matter of fact, imagine that you're there. So let's just pound through the story. It's really not long. Then Jesus, after he was baptized, was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. But then the devil took him to the holy city, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, because it's written, he'll command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift you up in their hands so that you won't strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him and says, yeah, but it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. And again, it takes up about this much room in your Bible and you can read this and go, that was strange. Okay, move on. But I can see kind of what he's doing right now because actually we don't have any guests here today. We have people who consider themselves followers of Jesus. And so here's what I'm going to say today. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include this event. John does not, which, Mike, you want to track something down. John's gospel is to reveal Jesus as God, right? So it's kind of strange. Track down why he would not put that in there. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Lion, ox, man, eagle. Go look at that. But it's strange that the one who speaks of his divinity didn't put this in there. But anyway. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, called the Synoptic Gospels, they all mention this. That's a big deal. Very rare occurrences where these happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn what we can learn for us today. Number one, and I know we've gone through this, so I'll go real quick. There really isn't any enemy of our souls on this earth. There really are forces of darkness. And if you're anything like me growing up, Hollywood completely ruined the idea of what the Bible details as the enemy. I'll give it to you straight, and I don't have told you this before. That's another interesting thing. He calls him Satan, but there was an angel called Lucifer, and some of the people, some great theologians, believe that he was actually the leader of the music in heaven, the worship leader in heaven. He was called perfect in beauty and wisdom. And there's some really strange stuff in the Bible about walking among the fiery stones and really... Anyway, so he's this cherub, perfect in beauty and wisdom, and I've told you this before. He's there in the garden. The angels are there in the garden. And the New Testament talks about how they had jobs. They had jobs to do. Angels did. They're God's servants, after all. Do you understand that? Let me talk a little bit about this, in fact. I'm really just going to try to ride the wave today. Your angels have... Listen, you may have guardian angels. I don't really know. Some theologians believe you have a specific angel license to you, but who cares? They are God's agents. They do nothing in and of themselves. So don't worry about, geez, were my angels... No, listen, talk to the commander, and he'll send the orders. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if it's Holy Spirit that's surrounding my home and keeps sickness away, or the enemy, or if it's a band of angels with spears or nunchucks or guns. I don't care. I'm going to say general, commander-in-chief, Holy Spirit, God, Lord Jesus, can you this, this, and this? And it's his business how he works it out, okay? Sometimes we take good things like angels, servants, soldiers, and pray to them. Don't do that. Never, 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 never. It is over and over again, right? Do not do it in the Bible. Every time someone tries to pray to an angel or elevate an angel, okay? So there's this cherub. He's technically an angel, and his name is Lucifer, and he happens to be maybe the worship leader in heaven. He's really, really close to the throne in heaven. And he watches God. I've gone through this, but let's say there's a few of you that haven't heard this. He watches God breathe himself into this man he made from dust. Right? This weak, feeble, gets sick, only lives so long, piece of dust. Us. Can you imagine angels? I mean, I just have so much to say. Wheels of fire, four-faced beasts, blah, blah, blah. And they watch it happen into us? Babies are not spectacular. Babies are not awesome or impressive at all, are they? And God breathes himself and eternity into that. How many of you know that if you want to be greatest in the kingdom, you have to be the most servant, right? So immediately, Lucifer was given this task. You're greatest. You're perfect in wisdom and beauty. Now serve him. And you know what Lucifer said? No, I'm not going to do that. Look at me. I'm not going to do that. Hey, other angels, do you see this? And a third of them rebelled with him, right? And so here's the problem. Here's what we have now. A lot of people think that the enemy is not after you because you've done nothing wrong. You know what? Why the enemy's after you? Because you've got God living inside of you, the image of God. He'll leave your neighbors alone. They're not causing a stink. They don't have the image of God inside of them. Why do they? There you go. You want one little answer as to why the wicked prosper? Because they're not doing any good. Come on. Anybody get that? Yeah. That'll help. That'll preach. Guy down the road swindles everybody. He's mean, but he's got a new four-wheeler and a new truck. And the devil leaves him alone. Why? Because he's not doing anything with his life. Doesn't have the image of God inside of him. Do you understand that? That'll help. That's just a little piece of that answer. We can't answer that fully, of course. So all of a sudden, down the ages, the enemy continues to try to destroy anything that has God's mark on it. It's true. And everything that God does, he tries to create a counterfeit. We could really get into that. We could really get into that. Everything God tries to do, the devil either tries to pervert, which means change the direction a little bit, or create a counterfeit of it. If anybody's into end times prophecies, you're going to have the Antichrist, quote unquote, which is not just one person. He's going to have a false prophet. He's going to have a false trinity. Don't watch for a man. I'm the Antichrist. Read the Bible. There's a false prophet. There's this person. There's the man. It's going to be a false trinity. It's always a mockery. Mike, you want to get nerdy? Go look at the design of the pyramids. So the devil, let's go to the first slide I have on there. I don't want to get into that, but it looks like a throne. But anyway, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you don't want to believe this, that's fine. But anybody who's ever been in battle understands this one thing. The Stone Boys can tell you. When you get dropped off into country, right, you're in battle. Everywhere you go, all the time. I don't care if you're back in barracks, you've always got that radar up. And that, matter of fact, that's what contributes to PTSD. We're not supposed to be in survival mode constantly. You understand that? Even deer, panic, run away, rest. Panic, run away. If you're in a battle zone environment, you get what they used to call shell shock. It short circuits your brain, okay? But the fact of the matter is we have to know, and soldiers survive by knowing that they're in a fight. You can go like this all you want, la, 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 but you are in a fight. And the Lord Jesus says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. On the converse, the reality of it all is, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let's hang out there for a second. Some people think steal, kill, and destroy. Well, what about stealing, killing, and destroying your destiny, your relationships, our bodies, our mind, our self-image? Do you understand this? Thwarting where we could be in Christ, thwarting the marriage we could have, you guys. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. You're talking about our nation right now. What do? You divide a nation before it's conquered. That's what you do. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And so everybody that's contributing to the negativity in our country right now is attacking our country. There, I said it. It's true. I'm just giving you science, man. I don't care which side you're on. Don't speak discord. Don't do that. That's what the enemy does. Steal, kill, and destroy. An enemy of peace. And this is what we're talking about. And I want to get off this for a second. Let's. Don't we have another one about the enemy? Yeah. We're going to learn something else about this. Jesus says to the religious people, he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, right? He murdered Adam and Eve and brought death into the world, not holding on to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So wherever there is a lie, there is the enemy, because it's his language, right? If I say, bonjour, je m'appelle AJ, I just said, hi, my name is AJ in French. That's from France, right? If I said, come si chiama, that's Italian. That's from Italy. You speak a lie, you're speaking the devil's language. You hear a lie, it's coming from the devil. Do you understand this? What we're going to do today, and I know this just sounds a little bit kooky, but too bad. We're going to pull back the veil because Jesus did, and we're going to realize there's spiritual things going on. Let's get on to the story here. Number one thing the devil is trying to do in your life is to get you to doubt who you are. Next one, sorry. We're not going to get into that, but if you're the Son of God, you notice that? The first thing the enemy's going to try to do in your life is get you to doubt who you are. It's true. And last time I spoke on this, Bruce, I remember you laughed because I said, Jesus does not say, if you're the Son of God, am too. No, he doesn't, right? He knows who he is. But if you're the Son of God, then this and this and this. The first thing the enemy's going to try to do to you this week is get you to doubt that you are in the palm of God's hand. Okay? It's true. The first thing the enemy wants you to do is doubt that you are in God's family, that you are his beloved, that you are not alone, you are not, he wants to tell you that you're not an overcomer, that you're God's child. So number one thing we got to do as we talk about this and about the fact that we have a real spiritual enemy is this. Make a decision today to truly receive your identity. It's your number one weapon. So I'm gonna do something I don't normally do. I'm very diplomatic up here when it comes to theological things. I'm gonna not be that way at all. I'm gonna give you my opinion, and I'm gonna preach my opinion. And I believe this. I believe that in Christ Jesus, you are eternally secure. Some people will teach that you can lose that salvation. I absolutely do not agree with that at all. I believe personally, A.J. Daniels believes once saved, always saved. I believe it's an adoption process. I believe it is a birthing process that cannot be undone. You could screw up your life, you can get hooked on heroin even, but that doesn't mean God didn't adopt you back in the day. Right? It's true. True. People have a hard time with that. We got a corrections guy right here. Well, how could, if that person is saved, they still have free will. I could go today, on the way home, I could make a bad decision and destroy somebody else's life or my own life. I could cheat on my wife tomorrow. I could do that. Does that mean I'm not saved? No, it means I'm a bonehead and I'm following the enemy, obviously, in my own flesh. But I truly believe I'd still be saved. I do. I believe that. In fact, we have, after the story, we've got a slide. I'm just going to jump right to it. That would be Romans. Yeah, Romans. I'm going to hammer this down to you. Okay. Therefore, no one will be declared in good standing with God. That's what righteousness means. Therefore, no one will be declared in good standing with God in his sight by being good, by observing the law, by anything you do. Rather, through those laws, we became conscious of sin. So stop. The law, the rules, were to tell you you need Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? The law was there to convince people, wow, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. You wouldn't know you needed him if you didn't first recognize you're falling short. The law was there to show us we need Jesus. Through the law, we become conscious of sin. I'm not cutting it on my own. But now a right standing with God from God shows up that's not it's apart from what you do. This is going to knock some performance stuff off you guys. And I'll hang out on this one slide until 3 o'clock, and then we'll go and watch Packers. But now a good standing with God comes. Who does it come from? Say it with me. Who does it come from?
God.
Not you and not what you do anymore, right? But now a good standing with God comes from him. And it's actually apart from what you do. And now we know it, says the Apostle Paul. And honestly, the past, the law and the prophets have been telling you about this. He just laid out human history. Did you see that? We got the law. It showed us we couldn't do it. But a new one, God actually gave it to us as a gift. And actually, everything has been pointing to it, he says. Next, please. This good standing, right standing with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Through faith in Christ to all. So say, faith in Christ to all. Say it. Say, faith in Christ to all. But what about... But you don't know what I've... But she used to... Did you hear what he... Knock it off. It's going to screw with your identity. That's what it's going to do. Through faith in Christ to all. And I'm not trying to leave off the grace of it all. This is a gift that came from God. Through faith in Christ to all who believe. So if you know, if you can say right now, is today the 22nd? I don't even know. Yes. Whatever today is can be the day where you realize all is me. All is me because I made a decision that I believe in Jesus. I believe he came, I believe he died, and I believe he rose again. I do, and I believe that that can count for me. So now you get to solidify who you are based on what he just told us. And I think there's one more Romans, isn't there? For all, guys, this is the condition of humanity. We know this. We've all sinned and fallen short of what we were supposed to be. But we're justified freely. Justified. Some people say it's justified, never sinned. Justified. We're justified freely by his gifting, his grace. And we're redeemed because of Jesus Christ. And that's why I believe that no one can rip you from the hand of the Father. No one can rip you from the hand of the Father. So if you are the Son of God, this question is going to come up this week. This temptation is going to come up this week. How about this, right? I want to say this, okay. Some people don't like the once saved, always saved theology, and here's why. They're like, oh, it's a license to sin. You obviously don't understand that then. We don't obey to be loved. We obey because we are loved. Does anybody understand that? That's the whole idea, guys. And here's what I love about this. This has very little to do with you or me. That's what I love. This is about the Father. I heard a story one time. A little kid was crossing the road, and the mom said, hold my hand, Jimmy. And he goes, no, you hold my hand because you're stronger, because you won't let go. Yesterday, we were walking on the ice because I took Alex out when the snow was evaporating, tried to get in and stop coughing so much. It worked while he was out there, I was telling Kirk. But he holds my hand, he's going to fall. I have to hold on to him. My grip is that much stronger. My hand is that much bigger, right? He did. He grabbed onto me. I was like, no. And I grabbed him like right here, you know, get a little bit of fist. And sure enough, he fell like 16 times on the way. It was like a Looney Tunes thing. I'm like, bro. Anyway. That's the thing. It's not about you holding on to him. It's about him holding on to you. If you are, because here are the questions that come up. And this is what I get. Well, AJ, if you were a Christian, then you wouldn't still be battling with this very same sin issue you've had in your life. Ooh. That's what that is. And a third of us just fell. A third of us just fell wounded. You're right. I believe that lie. Brenda, you get me on this one? If you were a Christian, then why are you guys having trouble conceiving? If you guys were, then why are you depressed? Why are you... See why I did all this preamble? Because that's real battleground that we live in. There is a spiritual enemy. He is a liar. It is about God holding on to you. So when you hear that, if you really were saved, why do you... It's the first thing he's going to do to attack us. It's absolutely true. And I wanted to go another angle with this too, because I think God... That it's starting to come together now why you want us to talk about this right now. Absolutely. Here's a sneakier one, right? I've told you before, he'll try to, you know, if you really were, blah, blah, blah. I think you guys understand that. But here's the thing. A sneakier lie of the enemy attacking our identity is this. And this is where the other two-thirds of us fall. It is attacking our identity is it gets us in a place where we're not able to make it real who we are in God's love. Now, what I mean is this. Everybody knows this song. But hear me out. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. To some of us in this room, that's our anthem. To others of us in this room, it's a song. And there's the other way the enemy says. We have yet to step into, and this is not condemnation, this is coaching. We've yet stepped into, I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's my song. That's my song. That's my Father. That's my Jesus. I am his son. The enemy will try to get, he will attack your identity. That's me. That's me. Me. I am. I am born of the Father. I am loved. Right? Do you understand that? That's the main thing, but I'll tell you a symptom of that. Not truly feeling his love. There's a symptom of it. I'll write out a prescription. Here's a symptom of that. Not truly knowing who you are, which is what the enemy's going to do first, is attack that. We won't be able to actually feel his love. There'll be something blocking us between it. And we can sit there and sing, he loves us, oh how. And you start singing it like it's for somebody else. It's true. Jesus wants you to understand that amazing grace, that's you. That's your anthem. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Right? And I was that wretch. Oh, yeah. But he saved me. He reached out to me. To me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We getting this? And I know. Look, you guys, everybody has their own journey. But I know this applies. Because I'll tell you what, it was about 3 years ago. I think, whatever. I remember being out in a boat at my favorite place in the whole world, which is Faubears out in Waddington. And I was out there by myself. I'm not one to believe in, personally, this is me, just my opinion. I'm not one to care about where you put me when I die, my body or ashes or whatever. But if I was big on that, I would say go right behind the cow farm at Faubears and put it right there. It's my favorite place on the earth. The sun sets behind them and the cows are the horizon. Oh, it's so beautiful out there. And the largemouth bass, forget about it, okay? It's a great spot. But I was back there and all of a sudden I just was so wound up. And I realized, I was like, I'd been wound up for a really long time. And you know what it was? I was so tired of feeling guilty and unworthy and not really being convinced. I mean, I know God's loving, but it wasn't for me. I wasn't walking in it. Has anybody ever arrived there where they just get tired of that treadmill? And I finally was just like, and I'm a Looney Tune. I was out there by myself, so I just start yelling, singing, screaming. And I've said, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore because I'm giving everything I have to follow God and I feel nothing. I don't feel his love at all. And everybody else seems to. They sit there and they get lost in worship and I can, but why not me? Come on, man. And I just said, I'm not going to do it anymore because that feels a lot like going through the motions and religion. And the enemy said, if you were really God's son, you'd feel that. And he was right, actually. I should be feeling that. But what do I do? And I've told you this before. The Holy Spirit gave me an idea. I told you how God sometimes speaks to us last week. Holy Spirit gave me an idea. It was his thought, but my voice in my head. And I sat down and I listened to one specific worship tune, and it's How He Loves. I listened to it every day. And I made myself watch the video. Because in the video, they're singing, he loves us, whoa, how. And the light's getting brighter and brighter and brighter behind him. And I just cried. Every day for 10 days, watch this. And I made myself, no turning away. it was like torture, but you know what I mean? And finally, toward the end of the 10th day, something started to happen inside of me where I was like, me. And again, I cried even more after that. Why do you think that when we sing it, I throw on, sing he loves me. Sing he loves me. In fact, I guess we're going to do that afterward. If you don't know who you are in Christ, half your power's gone. 3/4 of your power is gone. It's absolutely true. If you're, I'm going to throw one more on there because the script is already blown. Remember when I spent about a month talking about if God was good, then why do you feel like garbage? If God was good, then why'd that happen? If God was good, then why is the prayer list? It's a similar attack of the enemy. Well, if God's real, how come that 4-year-old's on there? He can't be good because that's not good and they don't gel. It's true. That's a huge thing. If you missed that series, go back and listen to it. I don't have answers to that, but I'll tell you this, don't fall into it. Don't do it. So let me make sure I did this. Oh, no, you know what? I'm not letting you off the mat with this one. I'm not. Okay. If you're feeling this today and you understand that, I want to tell you, give you a hint. Worship is a great place to work this out. Worship is a great place to work this out. If you okay? To push into God's love, to take command of yourself, and when we're doing these, you make the words come alive and real to you. You can do this because you control you. You really do, whether or not you hold the wheel. When we're worshiping, this is a great time to press into that love, to push past whatever happens to be blocking. But you got to be a part of that, guys. We make a choice, we push into it and push into Him. So that's my first piece of advice about this story here. I want to give another teaching that came out of left field that God spoke, so listen up. I know there's a few of you that really need this, and I might talk to you afterward, because sometimes God tells me who He's talking to. Those we love that cannot believe, who are not walking with God, let me ask you something. Some of us handed out tracts back in the day. Some of us had scripts about how to share our faith and all this. That's cool. I'm just going to add on to it, okay? Do the people in our lives that don't want to come here and don't want anything to do with Jesus, do they know how loved by God they are? No, right, right. But dude, listen, like you might have just got that. That was profound to me. Like how many times as a witness do we literally just tell people like, bro, God, Jesus loves you so much. Really? We talk about their need for redemption. We talk about the bridging and all this sort of stuff. But I can't tell you the last time I told somebody that they're loved by God. What a fool I've been. That's so huge. That needs to be there. Some folks who've done there are folks who think they've done things that can't get reconciled. I've done too much. Well, blast His love in their sight. Open the lighthouse windows and shine His love. And what am I saying? I'm saying two things. As followers of Christ, we're His ambassadors. So if the French ambassador comes over here, he represents France, right? He probably eats French food. He speaks the language. We can see France from this dude. We're the ambassadors of Christ Jesus. So number one, this is, you obviously all know this, shine your light of love. We're to be so loving and accepting and forgiving that people see what Jesus is like. It's that simple. It's that simple. Your friends ought to be able to say, I can see who Jesus is because I've hung out with you. A tough job. And with man, it's impossible. With God, it's very possible. But I came across something. I'm done. We're Gatling gunning today. Take what you want to take from it. God just wants to speak this stuff, I guess, okay? Jesus, other place, says, you're the salt of the earth. Never understood that. Never understood it. Shout out some stuff that salt does or is.
Preserves.
It preserves. That's good. I like that. Okay, what else?
Flavor.
What else?
Enhance.
What's that?
Enhance.
Enhance. Yeah. Can I throw out another one I never thought of?
Melt snow.
Makes people thirsty. And elsewhere, Jesus says, I am the living water. Live your life in a way that makes people want what you have. You're the salt of the earth. It should make people thirsty for Christ Jesus. Bruce, is that not good? Wow. That blew me back in my chair. How did I miss that all these years? That's awesome. That's one way to help communicate to the people in your life. You live that way. Absolutely. But what about telling folks that God loves them? What about really telling them? I know it's kooky and weird, but you know what? I'd rather be kooky and weird for God than normal and lame. Do you know what I'm saying? Really. Really, somebody's down, they come into the shop, and you can see they're depressed and be like, listen, I know you're going through some stuff, but understand this, God loves you. And He's come through in my life over and over and over again. Don't get so focused on this. Understand, no matter what, God loves you. How come we don't tell people that? We can tell them that. Help them to understand their position with God, should they so choose, right? I'll give you a challenge today as we're looking toward closing. Some of you accept this challenge. Tell one person this week that you know is not following Christ. Tell them they're loved by God. Here's my challenge to you. There you go. Sometimes you just got to put one foot in front of the other and make a choice. Do it. Okay? There's my challenge. We'll see how many people choose to do it. Okay, so let's get back to the story. The number one thing is get you to challenge your identity. It's the first thing He's going to do this week to try to take you down. The second thing is, now we need to go back to the second slide in the Matthew group, where He says, if you really are, is. He wants to get us focused on earthly things, needs and wants. Do you understand that? There's a reason the Bible took the time to say Jesus was hungry after He fasted. And by the way, that's not, people say it's the most redundant thing in the Bible. No, it's not. Because actually, if you fast, you'll notice you'll stop being hungry when you fast. A long-term fast, being hungry at 40 days is not actually, it's not typical. Do you know that? I listened to an expert in fasting. He was like, that's not a stupid thing to throw in the Bible. That's actually kind of profound. Why he was hungry at that 40-day mark, we don't know. But the enemy knew it, and what did he do? Tried to turn him on to his needs, his physical needs, the here and now. If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Here's what's cool about this, and I'm going to hit it and quit it. Jesus didn't say, you can't turn stones to bread. Anyway, just the power of a believer, but anyway. So he wants to get us focused on our things. Earthly things, needs, wants. Why don't we have it yet? God has three answers, yes, no, and not yet. And for a lot of years, I wanted to be married. And then, of course, losing the two, three babies. Why not, God? Why not, God? Why not, God? And the enemy's going, yes, yes, yes. Look at that. Look at that hurt. Stare at that. Stare at what you don't have yet. Do that, EJ.
Wants us to get focused on the here and now. Earthly things kill our gratitude. They waste our energy and they get us turned inside. Turned aside.
Jesus says this, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will come. And I think about Elijah, who didn't even go to the store, but he was fed. That was a joke, kind of. That was a good one. There were no stores back then, Mike. I think of the Israelites who were so focused on doing what God said and getting there that he fed them and took care of them. I think of every single person that abandoned the focus on this and God took care of them. That's what's happening right here. Water from a rock? Water from a rock? It basically says this, and here's one. The enemy's going to want to get you focused on what you don't have and what you think you need right now. And Jesus is going, actually, I'm going to obey the will of my Father. Down to here it says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes in the mouth of God. In other words, I get what you're doing. You're playing on my needs, okay? But I know that my first need is to follow the Lord. Even when it hurts, when I haven't eaten for 40 days, even when the bills are piling up and there's no way you can pay them, even when the report comes back and they say, you can't do that. Look what's happening. I'm a doctor. I know. And the enemy says, stare at that. Oh, yes, stare at that. That's going to take you down. Oh, image bearer of God. And what does Jesus model for us? Because they said in the beginning, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He says, I know what you're doing. I understand that. And I have these needs. But actually, I'm going to focus on God. And I'm not going to try to do this on my own.
This is good. I like this.
The second temptation. Let's go. Let's get going here. The devil took him to the holy city and he had to stand in the highest point of the temple. I don't think this is a metaphor. I think we're talking about actual travel. I believe that. I know angels occupy. Quantum physics right now teaches us we have at least 10 dimensions. I believe angels are interdimensional. Okay. And I believe that if an angel wants to be in Pawtucket right now, time doesn't matter. So I believe this really happened. I believe people probably could have looked up and seen them standing at the highest thing. Okay? I think the Bible means what it says and says what it means. Took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. I believe he was standing on the temple. He says, if you're the Son of God, still working on his identity, right? But then he confounds him and says this. Throw yourself down because this book you're quoting, it also says, even right now, if you were to get on your Facebook, you could probably see people battling each other and say, yeah, but doesn't your Bible say, right? Oh, I understand your belief about this, but your Bible also says, where do you think they learned that trick? Just look at the screen behind me. Oh, you want to quote from that book? Well, I can do that too. Here's what I'll tell you what I think this temptation is. I think this is a temptation to become a one-verse theologian who does not understand the full counsel of God. Let me throw some out at you. I'm not going to spend time on this because I just did. Yeah, but doesn't the Bible say man's head of the household? Whoa, I'm going to let that one simmer for a second. Right, though? You understand what I'm saying? Right? It's true. It's true. They could throw out a million other ones. Crop rotation, tattoos, don't cut the side of your face, don't eat shellfish, and the enemy can throw these things, and if we don't understand the full counsel of God and surrender ourselves to the full counsel of God, we'll end up hurting other people with God's word. It's true. We need to know the full counsel of God. And guess what? Jesus does. And he says this. Now, this is the direct quote. This is actually, the angel, the devil's quoting the Bible.
You can find this in the Psalms. He will command his angels. Other translations say, commit his angels concerning you. They will lift up your hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. There's the King James, right? But Jesus knew that. He says, yeah, I get that. And if I were to be stupid and just believe that and throw myself, but it also is written, there's a more important theme in my Father's word. It says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. I know the word of God. You don't have to tell me that I'm going to hell because of this, that, and the other thing. I know the whole word of God, yo, right? That's the point. You don't become one verse theologians. We understand the full word of God. This is part of what I believe the temptation is. Okay, yeah, I want to tell you this. We understand that God is outside of time. Going to heaven does not mean you have lots of time. It means we're outside of time. Time is a physical property. But I believe that God distributes his message to us all along the whole timeline. Do you understand that? Here's the beginning, here's the end. I believe bits of who he is went through the whole thing. That's information science. You don't just put it all in one bandwidth. It needs to be decoded. And that's why I love to preach about when the offering of Isaac, how that's a piece of information about God that most of us didn't understand. Or the flood of Noah. That was a really good piece of information about God, but we didn't understand it. But we have to understand it all, and it's all got to jive together. Okay? That's why you can't just take, boop, God wants human sacrifice. Wrong. Boop, God flooded the earth because people were bad. Wrong. It's the whole counsel of God. And that's why I always say, if you come across something in the Bible where the Father doesn't look like Jesus, you don't understand it. That's my challenge. And we can sit and we can talk about it. I'm no expert, but that's what I found. Jesus understood this, and he didn't let one little thing take him out, right? Another thought I had, and we are getting ready to close, I got about half a page left. He couldn't push him. Do you think the devil didn't want him out of the way? Of course he did. But if you notice that the devil could not push him, flex your muscles, kids. That's something else we're learning about. Who we are, the enemy still has to obey God concerning us. He is not allowed to come into your home and just destroy you. We can agree to it, and we can walk down a path of destruction because of influence, but the devil couldn't push him. Come on, I never even thought about that, right? If he wanted him done, you think the devil would just, no. Father God is still in control of this devil. Someone coined a phrase a long time ago, the devil is God's devil. He can only do what the Lord allows him to do. Read the book of Job. Okay. Oh, here's a good one. I like this. Because this is what it does for me. This is what it teaches me. The devil can't make me screw up my life, but he can say things like this. Hey, why don't you Facebook that old girlfriend of yours? Oh, I went hot real fast, didn't I? Or why don't you pick that back up again? Why don't you don't need to exercise today. He can't take you out, but you can, and he can make you. That's what we learn from this. I'm just pulling out all the information from this story. What does it mean in our lives? This is what it means. And you know what? Let's act this out, you know? This is where knowing the full counsel of God is important. I don't believe Facebook messaging that old girlfriend is a good idea, because the book of Proverbs is very clear over and over and over again about keep your foot out of that snare, right? Drink from your own cistern, things like that. I can quote a bunch of things. But when that comes, I've got to be able to know what the Word of God truly says. I've got to be able to know what the Word of God says to do that. Hey, AJ, cuss that person out. React. That one I hear a lot. No. God's word is clear. I'm supposed to be slow to speak, quick to listen, quick to forgive. And that's how we do it, guys. That's how we do it. So number one, if you think the devil's not going to serve you some junk, he's going to. Get your racket in your hand with the word of God and hit it back. Don't let it rest with you. Next one, please, as we're getting ready to close. Devil took him to a very high mountain, and I believe, again, that's literal. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I told you last time, I believe that's all the kingdoms. I believe that they're outside of time. I believe he saw the Roman Empire, and I believe he saw Nazi Germany. And I believe he saw the United States of America. I believe he saw all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he says, I'll give you all these if you bow down and worship me. Now, again, I said this last time we covered this, but the crazy thing is, it would not have been a temptation if it wasn't his to give him. And in fact, the exact thing I said was, I picked on Ted. I said, if Ted says to me, hey, AJ, if you give me that Packers glass, which is the coolest glass on the planet, hey, AJ, says Ted, if you give me that Packers glass, I'll sell you the Lobster House for $1. That's not a temptation. Ted doesn't own the Lobster House, right? Yeah. I mean, if you do, let me know. It's good Alfredo. He doesn't say, I'll give you all the splendor of these kingdoms. Jesus doesn't turn to him and go, they're not yours to give me. End of temptation. So what does this teach us? Something really dark that I started off the message with. Let's go to, I got to tell you what it is this time. 2 Corinthians 4:4, please. Satan, Lucifer's name after he fell, who is the god of this world. I just read that to you from the Bible. Lowercase g. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. That was once me, but now I'm found. I don't know about you all. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, which is the exact likeness of God. Boy, I should have just preached that all day. Bruce, kidding me? Jesus himself is sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's sweating drops of blood, which is an actual medical condition, we come to find out, where the capillaries burst near the, blood will come then through your pores. Oh my gosh, again, the Bible is true? Well, dermatologists discovered this about 25 years ago. Did you know that, Mom? It's a real condition. When in extreme duress, this can happen. Oh, so it wasn't just a metaphor. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. What does he say? He says, quiet, the God of this world is coming. Jesus, what did you just say? Jesus just called Satan, the lowercase g, God of this world? I started off this message by saying, when you get up out of here and you go live your life, you need to understand you have a spiritual enemy who apparently has some power for now. Because Jesus just said it. And it was echoed in 2 Corinthians. There's the whole counsel of God. A couple more. And two witnesses, right? That's a big deal. You know where else this can help us, though? This should not make you tremble and all that. I told you he couldn't push him. He couldn't push him. But it should make you huddle closer to the Father. And it should make you realize we are the chosen. Why don't we talk about that more in church? Why don't we celebrate more in church that we're the chosen ones? Why not? I do. I walk around my backyards and I'm like, you chose me. I'm your son. He doesn't get to just mess with me anymore. I rejoice about it. Don't ever let it lose its splendor. That's amazing. We have a spiritual enemy. So when you turn on the 6 o'clock news and how evil this world starts to scare you, what don't you understand about who's pulling the strings? And when the media tries to divide this country, I'll quote the Bible, the prince of the powers of the air waves. Did I just make a huge jump? Am I being a weirdo, or that kind of makes sense? You want to control people, you control information. You want to divide a nation, that's how you do it. I don't care what side you're on. Do you understand that? I really don't. Matter of fact, I don't care about any of your Facebook posts. I don't. Matter of fact, lots of you got hit because of them, probably. Don't care. Division. Not going to do it. There is a spiritual enemy. And he's at war with this country, and he's at war with you and your family and those you love. This is absolutely true. So let's go back to the last part, and I'll shut her down. Yes, this is a good one. This was basic training just today, and I understand now. Again, everybody in this room professes to be followers of Christ. Y'all are. This was basic training. Jesus wants us to know how our enemy is going to come at us and develop strategies. The armor of God is another very good study you could be doing the hour beforehand, right? I mean, this is like you guys are literally digging into strategies of the enemy. All this I'll give you if you'll bow down and worship me. You know what he was offering him? This is the final thing we're talking about today. A shortcut. And the reality of it all is there are no shortcuts. Oh. All the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, guess what? They do belong to Jesus eventually. The scroll gets handed to him in the book of Revelation. And everything comes back to Christ Jesus. But here, Kirk, was a shortcut. You don't have to go through that suffering. Oh, man. Sometimes I want to get specific, but I don't want to be offensive. But the things we want, for example, starting a family. Why this? Why that? You can have this now. You can this. If you'll just bail or if you'll just do this. There are no shortcuts in life sometimes, you guys. Jesus wouldn't have had to suffer, would he? He could have had, right? The enemy would have apparently given it to him and, oh wait, no death on a cross? Sign me up. No, because he knows that in the Father there are no shortcuts and the Father's will is perfect for us. And that sounds culty, but it's so true, guys. It is. And for all of us, look at Christy. I'll pick on her for a second. There are no shortcuts to full rehabilitation. You could be tempted or overwhelmed and not do it. But Christy knows the truth. I gotta walk this out. I gotta do this. There are no shortcuts to a good marriage. Just letting that one sizzle for a second. There are none. And also, you can't stand on both sides. You can't have a back exit or even contemplate leaving a marriage and think it's going to thrive. If you've got a nuke button in your marriage, can I tell you something? As a counselor for the last 7 years, not going to last. You can't do it. You have to destroy that back door and realize we're here. And I have two choices. I can sit in this muck, or we can work at it and make it better. Those are your two choices. Geez, AJ, that was harsh. Come on, guys. Look at the environment we live in. It's true. I mean, you got what kind of chance do you have? I've married people. This is crazy. I found out on Facebook that the first couple that I officiated broke up. That destroyed me. I know I'm not like involved, but I was like, wow. Hey, it wasn't that long ago at all. Wow. Geez, so watching friends and family blow up. There are no shortcuts to a good marriage. You got to do the work. And you can't have a back exit. I won't preach on that. Maybe I'll take all next week and preach on that, in fact. There are no shortcuts for what God wants in our lives. It's true. We will end up where God will have us. Let me say that again, because I've been gloomy today. We will end up where God wants us to be if we cooperate with Him. So those of us struggling with infertility, sickness, struggling marriages, continue to cooperate with God, and the power and the glory does come in His timing. Boy, I'd love to sit and share with you stories from inside that office. Oh, I would love to. There are no shortcuts, guys. But if we walk with God, we will get there. So that's it for today, guys. Take what you can. And I know that the Word of God is powerful enough that this week when you need it, He can bring it up. I know I fired fast and hard today. But the whole thing comes down to two choices, guys. Every day is a day where God is saying to you in one way or another, do you trust me? And it might be in big things. How are we going to fix the car? Or it might be in little things. My coworker, someday she'll stop mistreating me. I've got to continue to do what's right. I know I'll find whatever this career is going to be. I know that. I trust you today, Father. I'm going to do my best. Does this make sense? I know I can't change my spouse, but I'm going to continue to pray for them. And Father, I'm going to trust you that we're going to get into a good place again, a better place than before. Or for me, I trust you my kids will get healthy again. I trust it we'll figure this parenting thing out. That'll stop feeling like a bad dad all the time. I trust you, Father. I'm going to keep going. We're all being tempted every day like this to withdraw from God, to go our own way, or to do it our own way. And the reality of it all is, after this all happened, Jesus continued and fulfilled His destiny, didn't He? He knew who He was in God. So let's get this. We're going to sing How He Loves, because I want you to take this time to step in. If you know, no, I actually don't. I'm convinced God loves other people, but I'm not really. Now is your time to push forward. So let's do it.
This is on God. He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree. I'm bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of His afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Yes, we're all sinking. 'Cause then heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way, oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us so. Yeah, he loves.
First one who moved. You chose to love us. And Father, we are rejoicing today. You took the time to call each and every one of us into your love. That's awesome. Oh my gosh, we are so blessed, Father, to know you and to never be without hope or power against the enemy. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your adopting process. And today, Father, we declare that I'm saved. I'm safe. No matter what life throws at me, I am safe. I'm not going to like it all. You promised me that. But fear not, says Jesus. I've overcome everything that's going to come against you. Oh, my gosh. How could we not worship Lord Jesus? So today, for some of us, we ask that you would do nothing short of a miracle right now in our hearts. That this love we sing about, that we hear them talk about, and that they experience, we can experience it for me. Each and every one of us, Lord God, to break through and to understand and know that we know that we know that we are adopted. So, Father God, we do ask, Holy Spirit, we give you permission right now to move in our hearts. Wash away the doubts, the lies of the enemy, the reminders of our past, whatever it may be, Father, that's hindering us from walking in sonship and daughterhood with you. We thank you so much that you call us son and daughter. It's the most magnificent thing I've ever come across in this life. We love you, Lord Jesus. So we're going to do that. We're going to sing He Loves Me. Let's sing that.
Yeah, He loves me. Oh, how He loves me.
Seal that inside of us today and help us to guard that, Lord God. We ask that you would do a work as well, spiritually, that through this week that it goes before us in all that we do. We thank you, Lord God. You are our Father. And just as Jesus called you, thank you, Abba, Father. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name, we love you and worship you. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a good week, and go Packers. Go Packers.
I had to say something. Go Packers. Do you know what? Alex actually says go Pack go now.
Yeah.
Because they were at Lambeau that last.